Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Covering the Miami Heat from deep in the paint to beyond the arc and always inside the 305. This is Red Hot Hoops. Now, here's Alex Dono and Hollywood.
It's another Red Hot Hoops, an Odyssey podcast, your newest destination for Miami Heat news and opinions. Dono alongside Hollywood. Hollywood, our last show was about whether it's too early to hit the panic button. Three dubs later, I think we can say the answer to that question was a resounding yes. It was too early then to hit the panic button.
Yeah, man, it was. What a great game last night, by the way. The Suns game was tremendous. You took care of business against Charlotte. That's what you had to do. That's, you know, what we expect these guys to do. And they took care of that one, Dono. But the Suns win last night was a very pleasant surprise. That's a very tough Phoenix team. And, you know, the Heat were down big in that game. They come back. Jimmy Butler was fantastic. You know, I think it's funny. Jimmy doesn't get the credit that the other superstars get, right?
Yeah.
To me, he's on that level. There's very few guys in the NBA that can really take over a game. And, you know, I think he proved that certainly in the playoffs last year. He continues to prove it this year. But I just don't think Jimmy gets that fair level of credit. You know what I mean?
And that was like the perfect Jimmy Butler game as well, because, you know, we can agree and most people would agree he is indeed a bona fide superstar in this league, but he's not the type of superstar that just wants to go off for 40 every night, right? Like he doesn't just want to fill up the points part of his box score. He wants to fill up, you know, the double-double, triple-double areas of his box score. He had 16 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists in the game. So 3 assists shy of a triple-double, and he put the punctuation on that game kind of in a trademark old school Miami Heat fashion, right? Yeah, obviously the Heat had to hit some big buckets and a couple of clutch free throws by Bam to get that 113-112 lead in the first place. But the punctuation on that game was a Jimmy Butler block on Devin Booker. It was the defensive play that put the exclamation point on that win. I would venture to say Jimmy probably felt happier about his performance last night than in some of the wins where he goes off for 30, 40 points.
Yeah, that block was at the end of the game was incredible. And that, by the way, is about as lethal a shooter as we have in the league in Devin Booker. So that's a tough cover there. He is a tremendous offensive player. A great play by Jimmy at the end of that game. And, you know, I hope, you know, if this Heat team, you know, makes some sort of run here, I hope Jimmy gets the respect that he's due. You know what I mean? I think that, you know, yeah, we talk about superstars in the league, right? And we always debate who's a top 5, who's a top 10, who's this, who's that. Jimmy is right up there, right? And I don't, you know, I don't know if he's been in the top 5, but he's a top 10 guy in this league. So again, I there's a very few amount of players in this league that can really take over a game and make the impact that he can make. I thought that was, again, very evidenced in game 6 against the Celtics. He almost willed him to game 7. He almost willed him through that one in the playoffs last year. But I you know, I really hope that if this season continues going down a good path here, which it has been over the last 3 games. Now the schedule gets tougher. You're going to hit the road. You know, you're dealing with some injuries here. We actually just saw Omer Yurtseven is going to be missing for a while here. So we just saw that actually came out today. So, you know, Tyler Hero still dealing with an injury. I hope that this team can get healthy, Alex, because I think you're going to need a full complement of guys when you start to head out on the road here.
And honestly, I think, the two biggest obstacles that I see to the Heat being, you know, a competitor for a deep playoff run health is definitely one of those things. They did work through and deal with a lot of injuries last season, but I don't want that happening 2 years in a row. And they do have some older veteran players who are going to miss some time inevitably throughout the year. And then the other thing is we're going to talk about later in this episode. I feel like the lack of a true power forward, but I think that's something that Riley is going to find a way to address by the trade deadline. But let's talk a little bit more about this feel-good win against the Suns. To me, and it's a young season, but most complete dub of the year so far for the Heat. This game had a playoff feel to it. My heart was in my throat for really the fun. Well, I mean, from the 8 minute point, I kind of thought the game was over in Phoenix's favor. In fact, yeah, I was watching the Bally Sports Sun broadcast and I was listening to Eric Reed. And I pulled this up again to get the exact quote, but 8 minutes left, Phoenix takes a 13-point lead. And then Eric Reed says, right now, the Suns are just having their way with Miami. And then the Heat stormed back. And honestly, the final 2:23 of this basketball game, the most riveting 2.5 minutes of this Heat season so far, I went back and it's actually kind of cool on YouTube. A few different accounts have like posted the final 2.5 minutes of the game. And I went back and watched it this morning. So you had Caleb Martin, my God, he hits 5 threes last night. He hits a big three to pull Miami within one after they were down by 13 points. Then the Heat had this amazing defensive sequence where they end up forcing a 24-second violation. Kyle Lowry makes a huge three to give the Heat the lead. I don't think they had led since like the early moments of the game. You had about, you know, probably a half dozen lead changes in the final 2 minutes. Bam Adebayo gets to the free throw line. He hits a couple of clutch free throws to give the Heat the 113-112 lead. And then you had the Jimmy Butler block on Devin Booker that we talked about. I mean, that was as riveting of a final 2.5 minutes as I've seen all year.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you're going to get a lot of these games that come down to the stretch like this. And Kyle Lowry, you know, look, for all the criticism that he's gotten this season, I think is fantastic in the clutch. You know, he is going to be one of the big closers for the Heat this year, you know, assuming that, again, he can stay out there and can continue to play, you know, the amount of minutes that he's playing, 38 minutes last night. So he's certainly racking up the minutes. I was very pleased with Bam Adebayo. I think that was more of the performance that, you know, we're hoping to get out of Bam. Seven guys in double figures, though. That's probably, you know, what it's going to take for this team. It's going to take those sorts of efforts. Max Strus, by the way, amazingly enough, guy who's been scoring for the Heat all season, is what was the only guy that didn't get into to double figures in that game. But I just look for more of these kinds of efforts here, and you got to get led by your stars. Jimmy and Bam were fantastic, and Kyle Lowry, I think, can continue to come up in the clutch and make plays like he did last night. And, you know, he's very tough when he drives to the basket as well late in these games. But I like what I saw last night. It was a well-rounded effort from this team. And Alex, if you want to make the playoffs, you want to, you know, make a run in the playoffs, you're gonna have to win games like this at home.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line, and you gotta get into a decent position in this very difficult Eastern Conference, and gotta find a way to win these ones at home. The Heat have been doing it.
I feel like every time we, and that could be you and me, or even the collective we, anybody who watches Heat basketball, every time we start to criticize Bam Adebayo, he'll come out and have the type of game where he just wants to shut us up. Like, oh, you guys said I wasn't scoring enough. You guys said I wasn't aggressive enough. Yeah, so, you know, really outside of Bam, who scored 30 points, the scoring was pretty well balanced after that. You talked about seven guys in double figures, had a bunch of guys right around the 16, 15-point range. But Adebayo shoots 9 for 18, gets to the free throw line 14 times, and hits 12 of 14, including the two clutch free throws that ultimately gave the Heat the win. But also, you're reminded of the type of athleticism that Adebayo as a big man brings to the table. So one of the big buckets that he hit down the stretch run, he put on a spin move that a guy his size is just not supposed to physically be able to do unless you're playing after hours at the YMCA or something. Like, he really has no business completing that spin move and hitting the bucket the way that he did in an actual NBA game. So, you know, I don't know if maybe the dynamic of Hero not being around just makes Bam feels like he's got more of a green light to be aggressive and score points, but this dynamic with him and Jimmy and Kyle, it's working right now. Like they had a big three on the floor last night.
Well, let's address the elephant in the room here. Tyler Hero came off the bench last year.
Yeah.
And he's made the move to the starting lineup. I think Tyler probably needs to continue to start here, but you know, that second unit, it's still, you know, it's a critical piece, and he would come in last year and, you know, it would come off that second unit and played exceptionally well, obviously. I don't know, man. I think there's something to be said for the way that this team has been playing without him in the lineup right now. And, you know, I'm not so sure that, you know, that the team isn't, you know, maybe they're better with him coming off the bench. Maybe they're better getting a boost on that second unit. You know, Tyler is a guy that is a high volume offensive player, right? So that needs to be taken into consideration. Whereas, you know, Max Strus, who's kind of in the Tyler Hero role this year, coming off the bench a lot of times, you know, Alex, he's a little bit of a less of a volume type player. And, you know, there's a lot of mouths to feed in that starting lineup when you got, you know, Jimmy, Kyle, Bam, and Tyler, and there's a lot of mouths to feed there. So I wonder if it's something they look at. You know, you can't risk alienating this guy, which, you know, if he wants to start, he wants to start, right? I mean, what can you do there? We've seen that with players, you know, in the NBA, they just better for them to start. They go through the regular routine and all that stuff. So I don't know, but I think it's definitely something worth mentioning here, as they've looked pretty good with Bam. You know, can't discount that performance, man. That was huge.
You're right about Hero, though, because I think being a starter was something that they promised him before the season started. Mm-hmm. Right now, a lot of guys who have played Heat basketball the last, you know, 15 years. I mean, you can go even last 25 years, right? Or more, since Pat Riley initially came aboard the franchise. You know, making sacrifices is part of being a member of the Miami Heat, right? Guys have been making sacrifices since 95 when Riley came down here. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm sure that there have been players in the recent past, whether it be Tyler last year, whether it be Duncan at times, who are not happy to be on the bench. But you know, you have to wonder, does Spoelstra start to kind of schmooze him a little bit and maybe sort of start hinting at the idea that, hey, maybe you return into that six man of the year form. That might be the way forward for us. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. No question.
Yeah, you know, money starts to come into play. They obviously, you know, they paid Tyler. But look, the Heat have shown with Duncan Robinson that they're not in the business of making friends, right? They have been all over the place with Duncan's minutes. Good to see him get some more play here and there. But I think it's an interesting situation that they're in, and I'm very intrigued to see how does this team look when Tyler Hero comes back. Does he start to, you know, suck up a lot of the looks and stuff that Bam's been getting, that, you know, Jimmy's been getting? You know, let's see how that dynamic, you know, impacts this team. And you know, do you make a change? You bring Tyler back and say, hey, you know, we'd love you to come off the bench, get that six man of the year award deal here. You can start a whole trophy cabinet full of six man of the year. I don't know.
Hanging the banners in the roof of whatever we're calling the arena now.
But yeah, it's not a crazy idea, though, because again, you know, when he's in that starting lineup, there's a lot of offensive firepower. And we have seen that it doesn't always mesh in the way that you want it to. And it feels like the team over the last three games is starting to mesh.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of players coming back, what happens when Victor Oladipo is finally ready to come out of cryo freeze? Right. And, you know, it sounds like they're not in any rush with him, because when you've got an injury history like his, yeah, you know, you err on the side of caution always. But at some point, I would imagine Oladipo is going to be ready to reintegrate. He did it relatively quickly last year when he first started playing again in March. But there were two or three games where it didn't really mesh. I can't remember the opponents now at this point because it's been so long. But I remember when Depo first came back last year, the first few games we were kind of like, should we even be doing this? Like, maybe we should just shut him down for the year. But then he ended up at the end of the regular season and in the playoffs having a big time impact. So that's something to think about as well, that whenever Oladipo's ready to play again, that's almost going to be like you've made a trade acquisition without really actually making one.
Big if, though, man. Big if. You know, that's unfortunately been the thing with Victor Oladipo throughout his career. I hope, you know, we talked about him in the first episode. I hope that he can be that guy, come in, you know, come off the bench and give you 10, 12 points a night. That would be a huge boost for this team. But, you know, I'm going to kind of temper my expectations with him right now because I'm a little bit disappointed we haven't seen him up to this point.
Well, when we come back, there's a new trade rumor. And right away, my radar goes up when we're talking about a potential trade between the Heat and the Knicks that gets Knicks fans a little too excited. Right there, the red flags go up for me. Keep it locked right here to Red Hot Hoops. Red Hot Hoops here on Odyssey, available on the Odyssey app, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your pods. Alex Stano and Hollywood with you. So Hollywood, this is, you know, I know we're a long ways away from the trade deadline, but when you have certain roster needs, right, you start to look at who's out there, and we know Pat Riley's not necessarily going to be content with the status quo. A new name that's been linked to a Miami Heat trade. This comes from an unnamed NBA executive, right? But supposedly it does come from an actual NBA front office person who has linked Julius Randle of the New York Knicks to the Miami Heat. Quote, Miami is probably the big team that will be looking for a power forward. I think he's right about that. And he, being Randle, would at least be interesting there with Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. They'd have to make up for him on the defensive end, no kidding, but they are good at scheming that way, and they've been really bad on the offensive end. The Knicks would have to take back Duncan Robinson and a couple of their young guys like Omer Yurtseven, and you brought up that Yurtseven, he may be out now for several months after just having ankle surgery, and Nikola Jovic, something like that, he says. The Knicks would have to trust Obi Toppin to take that spot too. You could make it work, but it might not be the best thing for either side, really. Could you maybe argue it's better for the Knicks? Could that, and if they get like expiring contracts or if they get, you know, something, because Knicks fans, I think at this point, wouldn't necessarily mind blowing it up and getting a guy who's not really known for his work ethic, like Julian Randle, off of their roster. Because based on the comments on that tweet that I was quoting here, seem like the Knicks fans are a lot more excited about that possibility than Heat fans. A lot of people on Twitter, Knicks fans, were offering to drive Julius Randle to the airport. That's usually not a good sign if you're on the other side of it.
You know, the Knicks are one of the great mysteries in all of sports, aren't they? How they have had such unbelievable trouble getting, you know, putting together a competitive roster over God, how long has it been? They had that 1 year with Amari Stoudemire and Melo and the fire extinguisher and all that. But that's been it. That was really it. And they are one of the great mysteries in sports at any level, why they can't field a competitive team. And, you know, they've tried a million different coaches over there. They've tried to land every free agent under the sun and have been unsuccessful. There's kind of one common denominator, and that's the owner. Over there, and you know he's stubborn, he's not going anywhere, right? So I don't know, Alex. It's just even doing a trade with the Knicks is like just sounds kind of strange, right? Like taking one the Knicks top player. But I like Julius Randle. I think he's got a great game. I think that he could certainly fit with this Heat team. I think he'd be a very interesting fit down here. And you know, Miami, if they want to get back to where they were last year, in my opinion, is going to have to make some sort of move.
Yeah.
Right. I like this team. I like these guys. I do. And I think they have a lot of talent on this team as currently constructed. But I do think they are going to have to make some sort of move at some point to get another significant scorer on this team. Now, again, I wonder if moving Tyler Hero back to the bench is a fix here for this team, because I think between Bam, you know, Jimmy, Kyle Lowry, and you throw even Max Strus in there. You could even throw, you know, a Martin or a Vincent in there. I think your starting lineup has enough firepower. To me, it's that second unit that right now is leaving a lot to be desired. And, you know, do you throw Tyler Hero back on there? Or does he even, you know, is he okay with it? I don't, you know, does that ruffle feathers? I don't know. Maybe you get, you know, like we mentioned, Oladipo, maybe you get him back at some point. But I could certainly see him moving Tyler back to the bench. But with that being said, I still think you may need a little more firepower on this team. And I do think they are going to be very active trying to make a move. I don't know that it's going to be out there. And one thing I will say is you don't want to force it. Right. You don't want to end up with a player that you're going to regret down here. And, you know, I don't want to keep throwing Kyle Lowry under the bus, but, you know, Kyle Lowry kind of comes to mind when you just took an aging guy and tried to, you know, throw him into your system and make everything work here. It hasn't worked with him yet. I hope that he continues to play the way that he's been playing the last few games and, you know, he's able to stay healthy. But I don't know, Alex. I think there needs to be something done to shake things up a little bit, but I also don't want to see this team get desperate and make a bad move.
Yeah, and something, you know, you talked about needing firepower. Theoretically, Julius Randle would address that because in the past 3 years, he's done no worse than 20 points per game. He's on a 21 point per game clip so far this year. 2 years ago, had over 24 points per game for the Knicks, and it was, what, about a year ago when I saw Knicks fans saying he's better than Chris Bosh ever was, and now all of a sudden they're offering to drive the guy to the airport. You're right about Knicks fans being a special bunch. So the pro is obviously he can score, he can help you on the offensive side of the floor. I think the big con, and this is only a con if he doesn't perform, is just the risk of how much money you're taking on, because I believe he's got 3 years left now of his four-year, $117 million contract with the New York Knicks, including $106-plus million guaranteed. So he's got a lot of that left. So, you know, if you were to make this move, it kind of cripples you in terms of, like, making other moves and tweaks in the future. So you better hope it works out. So I'm not saying necessarily that's a negative, but it's definitely a risk. Now, as far as, you know, what type of worker he is, because he's not really known for his work ethic, especially since signing the big contract. A lot of people think that, you know, and then that's the old cliche. You get the big extension, you don't work as hard as you used to. That's usually not an issue when people get here, because it's either you work hard or go home or don't come in the first place. Now, you know, it's not a hard and fast rule, because I remember Dion Waiters taking the gummies, and obviously Kyle Lowry's not exactly renowned for his work ethic, and he's here in Miami. But, you know, typically they either find a way to make guys work harder, or Pat Riley's smart enough to realize, I don't think this guy's up for it, so I'm not going to make this deal in the first place.
Yeah, that would be certainly one of the risks of making this deal. And you're right, you tie yourself to this guy for the next few years, and it does limit what you're able to do. Alex, if the move is out there, and you know, whether it's Randle or a similar type of deal, you better make sure it puts you over the top, right? You better make sure it puts you over the top, because, you know, right now we're talking about a team that's 7-7. You know, I don't know where they're going to be in 10 games from now. Again, we're going to talk about the upcoming schedule. It gets a lot tougher, you know, for Miami. It's nice to beat Charlotte a couple times at home. And you know, the Suns win was you can't take anything away from about that win. That was a signature win right now for Miami. But there's a lot of teams that are up ahead of them right now in the Eastern Conference. And you have to just, I think, simply ask yourself, if we add this player, does it put us over the rest of these teams that are in front of us? And, you know, that's kind of where your math has to be right now. And if it doesn't, you don't want to hamper yourself with another bad contract, I think, if you're the Heat right now, because you want to have that flexibility to build. Because look, at the end of the day, you still have a very strong core on this team, right? And it didn't work out this offseason. I know Miami, there were some names they were rumored around, and, you know, there'll be names out there next offseason without question. And, you know, these guys aren't going anywhere. So that's the thing. I know, you know, with Riley, it's win now. Completely get that. And I love that. I love that the Heat always stay competitive, but it, you know, got to play a little bit of the long game here as well. And, you know, make sure you don't make a move that you're going to end up regretting in a year or two.
So the other move that we probably talked about this on last week's episode, it's been out there. It's going to continue to be out there as long as he wants to be traded. And that's Jay Crowder of the Suns. You know, the latest that I heard on that is, you know, obviously there's going to be mutual interest between he and Miami because they had a great time together a few years back, bubble run. But that the Suns, they're asking for a lot. And in any possible Heat trade, they demand that Max Strus needs to be a part of it. And for the Heat, that is a non-starter, that they are not willing to include Max Strus. So we'll see how these talks evolve, if they continue to evolve. But I kind of respect the Heat for sticking to their guns on that. And I think that's something that Riley's been pretty good at in recent years, because obviously a couple of years ago, they, you know, hypothetical trades always used to include Tyler Hero. We see what Hero's been turning into. And I think Riley believes Strus is not one he wants to let go of.
Yeah, I'm not so sure Max Strus isn't a better player anyway than Jay Crowder, to be quite honest. Yeah, I know we talked about that name last time. Doesn't do much for me. It just really doesn't do much for me. You know, it's almost kind of reminds me like a PJ Tucker type, you know, with Jay Crowder, but doesn't do a whole lot for me. I wouldn't give up Max Strus at this point. I think Max brings a lot to the table for this team. He's a key piece right now, and I would not move on from him. That would be a guy that I would not touch. I think if you're looking to move guys, I think again, you know, Duncan Robinson should be at a premium, man. You would think, you know, with teams looking for 3-point shooters, and the Heat are, you know, kind of use him wherever they can, but he's a name that I would try to move if I could. And, you know, I don't know, can they get out of Lowry's deal here and get him sent off somewhere? That would be another guy that you could look to move. But it's got to be something that, again, for me, like if you're gonna make a move, it has to be the move that puts you over the teams that are in front of you right now. And Jay Crowder certainly doesn't do that. You know, Julius Randle, on the other hand, does it? I don't, probably not, but at least you could have the debate, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, that's well said. Coming up next, the arena needs a new name. You know, I wouldn't mind if it stayed the Heat's house forever, but it's all about making that corporate sponsorship money. So what are we looking at here? And what's the upcoming schedule look like for the Miami Heat right here on Red Hot Hoop? Red Hot Hoops, an Odyssey podcast, available Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your pods. I am a crypto investor. Thankfully, I never used that specific platform that used to have the naming rights to this arena. I was on different exchanges. In fact, most of my crypto is off the exchanges because I don't really trust exchanges for obvious reasons. But FT, I don't know if we're allowed to say those three letters together right now. The arena needs a new name, Hollywood. Currently, temporarily branded as the Heat's House, which is like the biggest dub of Eric Reed's broadcasting career, because he's been referring to the arena as the Heat's House for probably as long as he's been calling games, which has been forever. What do you think happens next here? Because I know the Heat are looking for a big corporate sponsor. I honestly, I don't know if they're interested, but I wouldn't mind bringing American Airlines back, because I was so used to using them in the name for, you know, 20 plus years. That would fit like a glove as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, what a disaster though, man, for the Heat to be man, I was at the game last week, and they're running commercials, and you know, they got UD is in the commercials asking people if they're in and stuff like that with FTX. I'm glad I wasn't in that either, Alex, but I you know, if they have to go with a corporate name, they have to go with a corporate name. I wonder if they'll be able to, you know, look, the economy is such that usually it's companies like that, FTX, that are throwing out money they don't have to obtain these sponsorships. So I wonder where it'll go. I'm not opposed to just calling it the Miami Arena. You know, I know we're gonna have those throwback jerseys later in the season. Maybe you put a little a little retro signage around the building.
Yeah, you bring back that old like neon that logo. Oh, yeah. I love that.
You got the Vice logo. You got all that. I'm thinking maybe you go with like a little vintage feel with the whole thing. Just call it the Miami Arena until until you can figure something out here. The Heat's, what is it? The Heat's house? Is that what you're?
Heat's house. Yeah.
The Heat's house. Yeah, it's a little bit long, but I just go, I like the old Miami Arena. That was my favorite place, man. I used to love going to games there. So I don't know, that'd be kind of the direction I go. I go with a little vintage feel with the AAA or whatever, the Heat's house.
Yeah, it's going to end up being like some kind of a massive conglomerate, I'm sure, because obviously, like, everyone locally is always like, well, we need it to be something like Miami. Like, we need Versailles Arena or Bustelo Arena. But unless and Bustelo is owned, I think, by a big conglomerate. But unless they're willing to pay out like these huge arena deals, it's probably going to end up being like Binance or Coinbase or another crypto exchange, right? It's just going to go. It's going to go from one crypto exchange to another, something like that. But we shall see how this plays out. As far as the upcoming Miami Heat schedule, definitely few important Eastern Conference clashes coming up, and the Heat are on the road for the next four. You have to cross over the border into Canada for the next one. You're in Toronto. I'm kind of surprised they're not doing it. I guess we're only facing the Raptors three times this year because they did the two straight in Miami earlier this season. I'm surprised they're not doing like the two straight, but I'm guessing that's probably the last time we face them. Oh, no, we do face them again this year in March. So I'm surprised they're not doing like the two-game thing like we did earlier this year. But in Toronto on this coming Wednesday, Washington on Friday, Cleveland on Sunday, and you know, the Cavaliers are certainly not pushovers. Then you're in Minnesota out west to wrap up the trip, followed by two against Washington. So I think these next handful of games, and the Heat did get a really nice win against Phoenix, but the two before that were against a bad Charlotte team, and one of those took overtime. So I think we're going to get a better idea in the next week and a half or so if this team is really turning a corner or if they were just kind of winning games they were supposed to win.
All right, let me throw something at you here. How about we split this road trip? Okay, come back, you're 500. You get two against Washington at home, so you try to take those two. Yeah. Then things get a little dicey. Okay, then you go at Atlanta, then you got two in Boston.
Man, I didn't even look that far ahead. Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't know that the Heat are built to compete with Boston right now. Yeah. I don't know that that's going to be the reality. Right now for this Heat team, Alex, again, like, you know, the teams like Cleveland's very tough. You know, can you go up there and can you get a win? Can you beat a team like Washington? Can you beat a team like Toronto? These are going to be the big questions for them this season, because there's not going to be anything easy. But I would love to see them split this road trip. And again, you know, you got those two games at home against Washington. You got to make that like the Charlotte situation. You have to win those games. That's the only chance that he'd have this season if they want to climb up the standings, is to take care of these doubleheaders, these games at home, and, you know, beat these teams that you have to beat. So again, I think if Miami can find a way to go 500 on this trip, I would be pleased. Anything above that would just kind of be gravy at this point, but I would love to see them go 500 here. You can't be talking about going, you know, 1-1-3 or worse on this trip.
Well, you speak of gravy. You remind me, Thanksgiving's coming up next week. We're probably going to have a couple more episodes before Thanksgiving, but I'm hungry now, so we're going to let you go on that note. Huge shout out to Hollywood. Huge shout out to our producer, Marcos, who's busting his butt behind the scenes. And like he's been like puking all day, not to throw his business out there, but I know Marcos has not been well today. So we wish him a speedy recovery. I'm Dono. We will talk to you guys again next time on another episode of Red Hot Hoops here on Odyssey.